This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
We have a trophy here that we're going to present. It's the World Championship Trophy, and it goes to the world champion, Portland Trailblazers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You're going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, let's throw toward the corner of the end zone. It is intercepted! The next end of the ball! Down to the 35, the 40. Kenny Wayne's going to score!
And Brendan Sprague.
Smith hands to Simonton. Simonton around the corner. Is he going to score? The crowd is on the field. Look out, everybody. The Beavers have won.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Lillard, long range three. And it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. Good morning, everybody out there.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say today.
The Vancouver Ford text line is where you can reach the show. Get the mail sack questions in. We'll get to that coming up at 8:15 today. It's a Therapy Tuesday. The Vancouver Ford text line is 503-864-6326. They teach you right before, during, and after the sale. You can visit them at vancouverford.com. College football playoff rankings are released today for the first time.
Ooh, buddy. What's at 4 o'clock? What time does that happen tonight? Usually around 4 our time.
4:30. Yeah, the 4 show o'clock. Starts, I think, at 4, and they always do the build-up.
You drag it out. You got to go backwards.
Well, I don't think so, because they got 12 teams. They got to put a bracket together. I imagine they will get to them a little sooner.
Are they doing the stupid thing where they're live at a college basketball
That'll
game?
That'll be next week.
God, I hate that.
It'll be at halftime next week between the two.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not cool. It's not creative. No. I think it's ridiculous. Just do a studio show.
Yes. It's college football people. We don't need them there.
It'll be between. So Michigan State plays Kansas. It'll be right before Duke, Kentucky.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's a nice little game. I just give me the show in between the games. I'm fine with that. I just don't need them in a basketball arena.
I always find it very distracting.
Yes.
So we'll have a lot to get to tomorrow in regards to that. NFL trade deadline day today stops this afternoon, and Darius Smith is going from Cleveland to Detroit.
They needed a pass rusher. Hutchinson out for the year. That was one that I think we all assumed was going to get done over the last couple of days, and now finally got done.
Was really pulling for Max Crosby to be a Lion.
Dude, that would be an infinity stone right there. Like, you're not beating that damn team if they get Max Crosby on that defensive line.
That's a good poll question. If the Lions would have got Max Crosby, would that have been an infinity stone for Detroit?
I don't know what his contract situation is either for the years to come, but imagine he sticks around for more. I don't know if he's on an expiring deal or how many.
He wants to stay a Raider.
I know he does, but imagine you get him for like two more years and then Hutchinson comes back and you got those two guys coming off the edge for the next two seasons maybe.
I have him under a four-year deal.
Okay.
That he just signed not very long ago.
So he's under team control for a while. Unless
4 years,
holds out.
$94 million.
Yeah, he probably deserves more than that.
He has a potential out actually this offseason.
Yeah, I would imagine he takes
Yeah, my
that.
Guess was the price was a little too steep for the Lions.
Yeah, that's a tough call right there. I mean, I get you want an edge rusher, but the Raiders aren't just going to give him away.
Is it worth it? Is it worth giving up? Like, what is too steep to you? Throw that at me real quick.
Well, certainly a one and then something else.
A might one, have, they, I a don't, two?
Plus, Mark Davis is, like, he might have thought he wanted two ones or something. Because if he's under...
He's the face of their team. They, yeah, you're not
all
just going
to have
It's all they got. I mean, it's, they traded Devontae Adams. They don't have a quarterback. The faces of the Raiders are Tom Brady and Max Crosby.
Two ones and a great Clips haircut coupon to Mark.
That could be the deal,
Doug. Taking that deal?
You trading two ones for Crosby? If he can opt out this offseason, you're going all in to win a Super Bowl?
I'm not saying... Look, people are going to react because everybody that hears multiple firsts always does the same shtick. Oh, you're an idiot! Okay, I'm just simply saying, if the Lions got Max Crosby, would they become the favorite to you? Would you beat that team if they, and this is the big if, stay healthy?
I'm still not going to pick anybody against Kansas City.
Even with Crosby?
Even with Crosby. I'm not picking anybody to beat Kansas City. I'll pick them to win the NFC for sure, but not to beat Kansas City.
All right, well, I'm just saying, like, are two firsts worth a Super Bowl? Because if that's what the exchange rate could be.
That's a tough part, man. It's not a guarantee. I will never criticize a team for being aggressive. If they would have made that move, I would not have said, oh my God, how could you possibly do that?
Sure.
It would have been about, I appreciate the effort. You're trying to win. Will it work? I sure as hell hope, because I'm rooting like hell for the Lions. But that's the danger as a GM when you look at it and say, if we don't get a Super Bowl out of this, I just traded two first-round picks, which we desperately need because of all the other big contracts we got to hand out. So we need elite players on cheap rookie contracts. I don't have that ability, and he could walk in free agency this summer.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Dalton Wasserman of PFF.com is going to join us, and we'll talk some more football with him. We had the Tez Johnson injury happen this weekend and Marcus Harper, and so there was reporting from Pete Thamel yesterday of ESPN. Pete Thamel's got a mole down in Eugene. He's got somebody giving him the intel.
Yeah, he's got him all over the country. He's the Jeff Passan, the Adam Schefter. That's who he is of college football.
I don't quite put him on that level. Mm-hmm. I think him, Auerbach, and McMurphy are kind of the same. I don't know if I differentiate those people. I think they all have their sources, but I don't think there's one that is over the others, but he had this one locally.
I'm still pissed at him for the DeCorian Moore story this summer. I don't know if you remember that, but he got leaked that DeCorian Moore, who was the number one wide receiver in the country, was going to commit to Oregon on the 4th of July, and he didn't want to wait for the live announcement, and so he timed a tweet, but he got his time zones wrong, and so he sent out the tweet before the kid committed, and he totally stole the thunder from the kid.
Oregon receiver, this is from Pete Thamel. Tez Johnson's shoulder injury is not considered season-ending, and he's expected to be back later this year. He's not expected to have surgery after the injury at Michigan, which knocked him out for the game. Here is Dan Lanning with an injury update yesterday, his press conference on Tez and Marcus Harper.
As soon as they're ready to go, we'll have them out there. You know, we're going to put player, safety first. You know, Tez will be down, certainly right now in the near future, but I do anticipate us getting Tez back here soon.
So that was good news that Duck fans heard yesterday, that Tez is not out for the year with his shoulder.
Yeah, it's great news. I mean, you can survive the rest of the regular season likely without Tez Johnson. This to me is more of a long-term look of, if you have to play Ohio State again in a Big Ten title game, he was massive in that win. He had a long touchdown catch. If you get into a situation where, you know, you're playing, whether you get a first-round bye or not, but you got a Texas, a Georgia, whoever you want to throw into that mix that you have to play in the playoffs, you're going to need, you want to be fully healthy on the outside. And so that's why it was big news. The last time Oregon played in a national championship game was 2014. Do you remember what happened to their number one receiver that year? Darren Carrington was the number one wide receiver. He had an explosive game against Florida State in the semifinals. He then, sometime between the semifinal and the national title, tested positive for weed, and he couldn't play in the national championship game. Does Oregon win the game? Probably not. They couldn't stop Ezekiel Elliott, but you know what helps?
Bigger concern.
Having your number one wide receiver would have been a nice leg up and not be with one hand tied behind your back.
I forgot about the weed incident with Carrington.
Remember that? That was 10
reminder.
Years ago. He got suspended for weed, man. Weed.
How many people were on the air in the country giving that kid crap while going home almost every
75% of them.
And eating or smoking weed.
Smoking a joint the second they sit on their back porch. This guy, come on, where's the morals? How could you do that? So, yeah, having him healthy and ready for the stretch run, this was awesome news for Duck fans. There was fear that this was going to be season ending and his season was going to come to an end. Doesn't sound like that's the case. Awesome news yesterday.
Very interesting question asked to Lanning about if he should cover up the injury is kind of how I took the question.
Yeah.
Of Tez Johnson because of what happened to Florida State.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily specifically Tez. It was more about just like if anybody gets hurt in the next three weeks, are you not going to say anything because you're worried about losing your seeding because of what happened to Florida State?
But if they win the Big Ten,
it's
that's
an automatic
not,
bid.
That doesn't matter.
They can't leave you out of the playoffs.
I found that to be an odd question.
And Lanning had a pretty funny answer of like, I never tell you guys anything about injuries anyways.
Exactly.
I don't give you anything. So
we gotta wait for Pete Thamel to give us
that's
the update.
That's not going to change, and I'm not going to just change it because it's the end of the year.
This one I found pretty comical because I jokingly text you when they scored that last touchdown. And I know you defended it to say the point differential, all that. Lanning is an a-hole. And I mean that in the best, most complimentary way. I like when coaches do this. I'm not one of these old fuddy-duddies. Respect the game. Respect your opponent. No, they were at the two-yard line. Run your goal line package. They don't want it to happen. Stop it.
Yeah, get a stop.
Well, that touchdown put him over the Vegas number.
It did.
And Lanning, well, listen to Dan Lanning talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, they had a timeout. If they utilized the timeout, then there's the opportunity for them to stop it, you know, and you're trying to assess, are they going to be in position to use one or not? And obviously, looking back at it, it's easy to say, okay, they probably weren't going to utilize one. They're going to let the clock tick out. But I'm not, you know, at some point that could happen to us as well. I'll never be ashamed for us going to score a touchdown. It's our job to stop them. And I know I've got a ton of respect for Coach Moore and the job that he's done. He's been amazing every time I've got to interact with him. And, you know, you could feel bad, but as a competitor, you want to go out there and do the best you can to score. And I'm sure there certainly were some Oregon fans who were excited that we did there, too.
He's been on with Isaac and Suk and talked about spread stuff before. This guy knows. He knows the number. I don't care what he says. He knows the number.
I think all these coaches do.
I do, too.
I think they take pride in knowing that they can cover spreads. He's been pretty good at it this year. They're on a decent stretch.
Don't you want your name on that graphic? You're
yes.
not thinking about this in the game, but you want them to show you pregame at the 50, and it says Dan Lanning somewhere, and then it says Dan Lanning. 9-2 against the spread in the Big Ten.
I mean, the other thing that it has done, the two most interesting matchups in the new Big Ten conference, are for Oregon fan at least, is obviously Ohio State and Michigan. The way the Ohio State game ended, all the, you know, did he slide in time, the pass interference, it's just a classic game, right? That already became spicy. The Michigan game was lacking a little bit going in, ended up being a somewhat competitive game. You tack on that touchdown late, their fans are all living in the aftermath. You know what it did?
Spicy.
Made it a little spicy.
Well,
next time you
spice.
Play Michigan.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yep.
These are all new matchups. We're not used to them, and you got to start building that history. And so there's that point of it, too. The next time you play, Michigan's going to remember you did that if Sherrone Moore is still the head coach, and that'll be a thing.
In listening to Lanning, my other takeaway from this with the Tez news, because I know Duck fan was excited to hear this, you don't want Tez to be hurt. You don't know how susceptible to re-injuring he is when he does come back. You worry about all these things with football, right? I think it just kind of highlighted to me, as somebody not wearing green and yellow, kind of what it's a representation of the season to a certain extent. There are other teams that have suffered massive injury,
mm-hmm.
and Oregon's big injury for a long time it was Bedford for us, but
yeah.
That doesn't matter anymore to people. It's now this. But go look at the schedule, and you hear this news, I'm like, everything has just kind of fallen exactly how they've needed it in the year. And even the other teams around college football, all of them, and maybe you can point to Oregon here too, but like all of the others, including the big boys, you can look at and say, I see your easy weakness. Carson Beck sucks. Texas, you got pushed around by Georgia. I think Oregon can also do that. You just start point. We beat Ohio State. You can point at all of those teams. And I just look at Oregon and I say the schedule, the injury stuff, there's just something that has been kind of fallen in line to a certain extent so far in the season, and this was one of those other things.
Well, the other part of it last night, too, wasn't just Tez, although the Tez stuff was great to hear because that was the biggest concern. Harper, it sounds like he's going to be okay. Wouldn't commit to him playing this weekend. Don't expect him to, but he's going to be back, so he'll be fine. And then a couple other guys that we've been waiting on as fans, Gary Bryant, who's been out all year. Lanning said he expects him to play at some point this year.
That's
Jaleel Florence, who at times last year was your number two corner,
yep.
opposite Kyrie Jackson, he's been out all year this year, and they're expecting him back at some point. I mentioned Dave Iuli last week, an offensive lineman who might end up getting the started guard this week if Harper can't go. Like, all of those things are also very encouraging because it's going to take everybody to win a national championship, and that's the goal this year.
4:30 kick, by the way, was announced with Wisconsin on NBC.
Thank you, baby Jesus. No big noon game.
We were talking yesterday after the show, thought it might be the big nooner. Got the 4:30 NBC prime.
I mean, that was my big fear game the rest of the way. You got third road game in 5 weeks or whatever it is. You got to go on the road. If it's a 9 a.m. start, 7 a.m. body clock, that's not easy to overcome. And now they get a 4:30 primetime game. It'll be cold. It'll be a louder atmosphere probably. They'll be jumping around and all that, but it won't. The kick time won't affect Oregon in any way, shape, or form.
A common theme with sports fans locally. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Made my mind.
Saw a clip yesterday from Mickey Rourke, the actor.
Yeah. What's Mickey Rourke up to these days?
I think this video is old, so I'm sure there's some listeners that heard this and they're like, oh, I just saw this yesterday.
Okay.
He was on Piers Morgan's show.
That sounds like a great combo.
Just listen to the awkwardness of this.
That, but I'm not going to go into it because I don't need another visit from the Secret Service.
When did you have one before?
Oh, about 6 months ago.
Why?
Take a wild guess.
Was it because of something you said about President Trump?
Yeah.
What did you say about him?
Just the truth.
Which is what?
Read my mind.
What? Did he say, read my mind? Is that what he said at the end?
Just stares at the camera.
Read my mind.
And says, read my mind.
Read my mind. All right. That is a little...
Happy election day, everybody.
That's a little awkward booth tension right there between Piers and Mickey Rourke. It's a hell of a combo.
Yesterday, I made a jokey tweet. Some people didn't understand that was just joking.
Just joshing around on the old socials.
I'm fascinated by certain people in sports, but I jokingly said, hey, you know, my grandkid one day, Grandpa, how come the Blazers didn't get Cooper Flagg? And I'm going to stare at them with a cigarette in my hand and say, because of Delano Banton in the cold November night. And I was joking. Delano Banton scored 17 points in 12 minutes of action last night.
17 points in
20, thank you. Yeah. I shorted him three
points. He had 20 points?
That's right. He did it at garbage three.
Oh, yeah.
He got the post-game interview. He was excited.
20 points in 12 minutes.
Scoot, he played Scoot off the floor. Scoot didn't play in the closing minutes of this game.
No, he did not.
And I told you yesterday the Blazers were going to win because basically the Pelicans were without everybody. All they had was really Ingram.
They're already 2 games ahead of us in the tank off right now. I'm a little worried about New Orleans now. It's a bad basketball team.
The Blazers won a game.
They did.
And I sent that tweet out and a couple people were like, you know, it's a lottery system, okay? This isn't going to change anything.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that. But also, quite a few people...
It's not that they won.
Yeah?
It's that Chauncey was playing it...
Oh, he's actively trying to win.
That's what he's going
to
do.
He's in a lame duck year. He wants to get a job. Like, do you think this guy's going to roll over?
Sums up where the problem exists, but...
Anyways, I was surprised how many people responded with, I can't wait for Dirt. Dirt's fired up. Dirt's pissed off. Oh my God, this has got to drive Dirt crazy. And you've done it. You may have people that tell you they're out on you.
Oh, they're back, baby. They're all the way back.
But you,
deep down, they know I'm right. They all know I'm right. They want to be fans, but they don't want to be an honest fan. And deep down, they know that I'm right. What are we doing?
We're winning.
What are we doing?
We're 3-5, baby.
Look, you can even get away from the whole idea of tanking, which is the whole point of this season, to get as many ping pong balls as possible. But let's just set that aside for a second.
Okay.
Outside of getting as high a draft pick as humanly possible, what is the next most important thing that we can accomplish this season? Developing our young guys? Would you argue that's a pretty important piece of a rebuild? Can we all agree on? Is every Blazer fan on the same page there? Developing our young guys, very important. We're playing games in closing time minutes, and we have the third overall pick from the NBA draft a year ago, which 16 months ago, the general manager told me he was such a generational talent that we can't let this guy slip through our fingers. 16 months later, he's sitting on the bench in closing time minutes so Delano Banton can put up shots.
Well, isn't that developing a young player?
Is Delano Banton a bigger part of your future than Scoot Henderson? Because if he is, that is a massive indictment on this organization.
If he becomes a good player, that's a credit to them.
That's fine. Is he going to turn into an all-star? Is he going to turn into a player you can build a franchise around? Like, for the love of God, do not do the Blazer fan thing. I'm going to lose my mind if you do the Blazer fan thing.
Some people are saying that Delano Banton's floor is Cooper Flagg's ceiling. That's just what some in the streets are saying.
I'm going to lose my mind.
He was good.
Is there anything to
Duop Reith is untouchable, too. Can't trade him. God. Can't possibly part ways with Duop Reith.
We at least didn't play Rob Williams last night. He was active.
That's true.
We didn't blame him.
He was available.
Why are we not giving our young guys who are trying to build the team around opportunities to learn and play and grow in pivotal moments of the game?
They're right now, you're just following. By the way, the Bucks have
1-6.
Well, they didn't have anybody playing last night. Dame almost won a game. But yeah, they're 1-6. ESPN's now running with should Giannis want out. So shout out ESPN for helping more people hate the NBA.
Yeah.
Right now, currently, Portland is 8th. They've lost the tiebreaker to the Pelicans at 3-5.
I mean, they should have swept. They should be 4-4, to be honest with you. They should have won that first game against New Orleans.
I would agree.
It should
with
be
you.
A 4-4 basketball team.
I would agree with you.
And so I asked this on Friday. Then they lost two games this weekend. Then they won again last night. Like, how long is this what we're going to do?
Well, we're
going
to do somewhat similar thing, I think. And I hope to be wrong on this because I said yesterday, I want him to trade Ant. I don't need to see it. I know what it is. He's, you know, him and CJ, I don't see a big difference personally, and I've watched them play both a lot of basketball games. I would like Scoot to get into the starting rotation, so I don't know when that's going to happen. And so I think we're just going to be playing this game for the next couple weeks. Now, they're going to lose. I think they're going to lose to the Spurs on Thursday, but almost not like they can't beat the Spurs if they're going to play their vets and try to win.
You'd be 4-5 if you win that game.
Well, yeah. So
you're on pace to win 30 games right now.
32. Yeah.
So look, eventually they're going to pull the plug like they've done the last 2 years.
Memphis just lost to the Nets, so like it's not impossible. And
John Morant had an insane highlight in that game, by the way. His reverse dunk layup thing that he did.
He did a cocked back 360 into a layup. Like him and Saquon's leap backwards.
Yes.
Are debatably the two most athletic things I've ever seen a human being do.
Never seen somebody like go up for a tomahawk dunk and then spin move in the air.
I've also stood next to John Morant, and I'm 6'1" in shoes. I'm not trying to he might be my height.
Yeah,
like it's insane.
Freakishly
what
athletic.
Freakishly athletic. Yeah, I mean, look, I understand where you're coming from. I'm joking with you about the Banton stuff. Chauncey clearly wanted to win that game last night.
Well, it just highlights the biggest issue that they have right now, and that is that they were on two different tracks, and this has been the case now for 2 years. You have a head coach who's desperately trying to win as many games as he possibly can because he wants to coach again in the NBA. I don't blame him at all for that. He's been given a raw deal. I don't think he's that good of a coach, but he's also been given a pretty raw deal. He wants to try and stack up as many W's to show, hey, when I'm applying for jobs next summer, because I'm not going to be in Portland long term, hire me. Look what I did with this roster, and I won these games, and look at what I called. Like, that's his whole focus right now, when the organization's focus should be on ping pong balls and developing young players. And when you have a coach and a general manager who are on different pages, this is what you're going to get. And so I know it sounds like a broken record and it might piss some people off, but when you're going through years like this, you have to have an eye on the bigger picture and not a night in and night out. That was so much fun. It's not about one night in November. It's about what the long-term plan is and getting ping pong balls and developing players. Mm. And for the life of me, I don't know what it's going to take for this fan base to wake up and realize that.
Well, most people.
We've done this 3 years in a row. Mm. I remember last year saying this when Dame came back to town and Anfernee Simons and veterans were playing in the fourth quarter of that game.
Well, you want to win the breakup.
And we sat Scoot in the fourth quarter when we could have given him a moment where it's like, hey, that's the former point guard against the new point guard. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Why? Because the head coach wanted to win the game. It drives me nuts, man. It drives me nuts.
I do hate the narrative. He's been given a raw deal. He got fully 5 years guaranteed to
financially
be a coach,
not a raw deal, no.
And has not been fired for having one of the worst 45 winning percentages in NBA history. Has shown zero as an actual coach. And he also, by the way, took a job of a team that he didn't like roster-wise. Hey, spare me that he's been given a raw deal.
Financially, he's doing just
fine.
How
many coaches get to be this bad for five straight years and get the full length of that deal? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. We're in a different kind of purgatory now, so that's cool.
Delano Banton was fun.
We used to be in playoff purgatory. Now we're in tank purgatory. We're not bad enough. We're not good enough. We're in no man's land again.
We're at the seventh worst record, and we're going to get the number one pick. It's going to shock you.
Yes, I can't wait for that to happen, because that happens all the time in the NBA.
You have to publicly apologize to
them. I will. When we have the ninth worst record in the league and we end up with the number one overall pick, I will publicly apologize on NBA Draft Lottery Day.
They get Wemby on Thursday, so they get Wemby tomorrow.
The guy we were one ping pong ball away from because we won some meaningless games before the All-Star break. That was cool. Who would you rather have, Wemby or Scoot right now?
Oh, that's tough call. Even a debate.
Tough call. I don't know.
I think you sit Wemby at the end of that game.
You definitely sit him at the end of the game.
Let's talk some more football. College rankings come out tonight. It's not just election night. It's college football playoff ranking night. And so we'll talk college football and some NFL with Dalton Wasserman of PFF.com. Mail sack is at 8:15. So get the mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326. Dirt and Sprague back with the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is poured by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing since 1996. Your local coastal brewery. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
Hi, Daily Ticker time here on a Tuesday. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass and drink on Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach. Let's talk some college football and some NFL. We got trade deadline day in the National Football League. And the first college football playoff rankings come out. And joining us now to talk about both of those things is Dalton Wasserman of Pro Football Focus. He's the co-host of the Pro Football Focus College Football Show at PFF_Dalton on Twitter. You go give him a follow there. And PFF has you covered all season long with the best data and tools and analysis in the game. Sign up for PFF Plus today to unlock all of their famous player grades and premium stats. Dalton, good morning to you. Can you make sense? I hate to do this because it's what everybody has to deal with on a national level, but it's hard for me to overlook it on NFL trade deadline day. Can you make sense of what the Cowboys are doing? Why are they trading draft picks for a wide receiver the day they put their quarterback on IR?
Honestly, no, I can't make any sense of it at all. I think the Cowboys, with what we've seen from them, and now they're really the one guy, Dak Prescott, who gave them any hope of winning more games this season, going on IR with the injury. Look, nothing's gone right for the Cowboys this season. I believe they're in the bottom five of an offensive and defensive grading for us. I mean, you just see it. The offense is stagnant. It's essentially just Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb trying to will them down the field. And the defense has been bad all season, and it's just not getting any better. I know Micah Parsons is coming back, but that's not really going to do much for what especially the run defense has been just a sieve, honestly, for the entire season. So maybe it's just a young guy that they believe in that they can keep and work towards next year. Maybe they're getting rid of Brandon Cooks or something like that in the offseason. But no, I honestly don't think it really does anything to change the outcome of their season, especially with Prescott hurt for at least 4 weeks now. I think the Cowboys are in for a rough second half of the year.
Yeah, Dalton, I think everybody already thought that Detroit was kind of the cream of the crop so far in the NFC. First 7-1 start in 68 years. What does getting a pass rusher in Za'Darius Smith, what does that do for Detroit in your estimation?
it at least somewhat alleviates their biggest concern, right? Because with Aiden Hutchinson's injury, they had really gotten no pass rush off of the edge, and they had some other guys injured too. So, I mean, they were running some practice squad guys out there off the edge for the last couple of weeks. And Smith, well, he's not certainly Aiden Hutchinson. He's at least a productive veteran pass rusher who we know can get some things done off the edge. Because on the rest of their defense, especially down the middle of it, it's played really well. You talk about Aleem McNeil and DJ Reader are real problems on the inside. The secondary's getting better, especially at safety. But this was going to be the one Achilles heel, is if the Lions could get a pass rush off the edge in the playoffs. So at least with Za'Darius Smith and maybe waiting for those other ancillary players to get healthy. You know, you talk about Josh Pascal and James Houston and guys like that. You're talking about, okay, now we at least have something, as opposed to what it's been the last two or three weeks where it has just been non-existent, their pass rush off of the edge.
The Chiefs are a juggernaut that cannot be beaten. Right when we think Mahomes might be out, he jogs out of a medical tent and they win in overtime. They are undefeated. Would you say Detroit is the best chance to beat Kansas City from three-peating, or are there teams in the AFC you legitimately believe could beat Kansas City?
I think you talk about teams like Baltimore and Buffalo that would have a shot. I think those are the two in the AFC for me, if only because you have a perennial MVP candidates in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But yeah, no, I think it's hard not to say right now the Lions aren't the most consistent team in football outside of Kansas City. The offense has such a high floor and can beat you in so many different ways. The defense is, you know, aside from Hutchinson being injured, the defense is better than it was last year, right? Last year, the big problem was coverage and weakness in their secondary. They have patched that up some, and they're still waiting for some more young kids to develop at cornerback. I would say yes, the Lions are the biggest threat, but there's some real threats in teams in Buffalo and Baltimore, I think, are the two biggest ones that could beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Interesting. We're talking with Dalton Wasserman, a Pro Football Focus at PFF _ Dalton on Twitter. Go give him a follow, co-host of the PFF College Football Show. And I did want to ask you about that because college football. The rankings come out tonight. Oregon fans are fretting about not scoring enough points in the third quarter, but outside of that, they seem to be the most complete team in the country. Do you agree with that? Do the numbers bear that out? And then if I were to ask you right now, going into tonight's first, like, how many legitimate teams do you think you can make an argument in your mind that team can win a national championship? How big is that list for you?
I think it's pretty wide open, to be honest, because I think when you look at, you have a team like Oregon, you've got a team, obviously Georgia's always floating around, Texas has only one loss, a team like Miami whose offense is raging hot. I think it's the most wide open year that we've seen in a while, and it's going to get more wide open once you hit the playoff and those one game scenarios, right? Three or even four rounds of one game scenarios where it's about matchups and going out and executing on a nightly basis and things like that. So I think it's incredibly wide open. I do think Oregon, look, they've gotten through the big hurdle beating Ohio State, right? And they've got a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. They're the most likely team to get that number one seed, you know, and I think they do have an incredibly high floor, especially with Dillon Gabriel and their offense and the way they've really gotten things rolling. They made some switches on the offensive line that have helped. So I think is Oregon unbeatable? No, I don't think anybody's unbeatable in a season like this right now, but they do have a pretty complete team, and I think as long as they just keep executing offensively the way they have been lately, they're certainly one of the inner circle favorites.
We tend out here, Dalton, to be a little bothered by the SEC stuff. We understand why they get the attention, the money, and all that, you know, the benefit of the doubt, but we tend to just be annoyed that they're allowed to lose a game or two, and they're always given leeway, but all these other teams in other conferences, immediately they lose two games. We say, they're not that good. Get them out of here. What team is going to bother Dalton Wasserman tonight if he sees them in the top 12?
I'm very borderline on Alabama and LSU. I think when you were looking, I know Alabama got the Georgia win. That's a big one. You know, I think those two teams are very much teetering, you know, especially with the fact that they're playing each other this week. The loser could just be out of the playoff. I'm very borderline on those teams against teams like SMU, who's been very good, and their only loss is to BYU, who I think is a top six or seven team right now. You know, a team like Indiana, who, yes, their schedule's been soft, but they've also just blown out everybody they've played. And they, to me, they look legit. I think they have a real shot to beat Ohio State next week. It is that, where it's like the strength of schedule and all that stuff comes into it. I think Alabama and LSU are the two, especially whoever wins this, you know, this game feels like almost a lock to get in. I know LSU's got a little bit tougher schedule down the stretch, but those are the two teams I'm the most borderline on of whether they should be in or out right now.
Interesting. Is there anybody that you look at that's in this top 10 ranking list, that a team that's going to be there that you just laugh at and say, they need to lose. Get them the hell out of there.
I don't think so. I think there was a couple in the past week or two that we saw lose. I thought Pittsburgh had some flaws, you know, and they went and SMU took care of business there. Iowa State was another team I was kind of side-eyeing a little bit because they're very good, but they have some flaws. So I don't see a whole lot near the very, very top of it that's wrong. I think tonight, I don't think looking at it that I'm going to see a whole lot of issues with probably the top 8 or 9. There's always going to be an argument with those last couple of spots, and based on so many granular little things, just like we saw with the fourth spot last year. So I think the top of this thing is going to look just about right, unless there's a whole lot of, like you mentioned, unless there's a lot of bias towards strength of schedule and what's gone on in the SEC. But, you know, I don't think that should be the case. I think you've got some really legitimately good teams at the top.
We talked about Penn State yesterday for obvious reasons. We acknowledged that Penn State's kind of been in this purgatory in their own right, in their conference. They can't beat Michigan, Ohio State in the years when both are up. They can't beat Ohio State, haven't in 8 years. You know, I understand the argument for James Franklin and saying he's a great coach. His 1-13, 1-12, whatever it is, record against AP top 10 teams, they can't beat Ohio State. Should Penn State fan be expecting more than what James Franklin has delivered?
I think you have a different dynamic here with the playoff, right? If you get into the playoff and you win a playoff game and you're one of the last 8 standing, I think they'll be okay. But they're on very tenuous ground right now because they looked. I was actually at the game, and that did not look like a football team that was mentally feeling very good about themselves after that Ohio State loss. And look, I think the facts are this conversation heats up a lot more if they lose another game and miss the playoffs, because I personally believe their schedule's been pretty soft too. An 11-1 Penn State will get in the playoff. A 10-2 Penn State will not. I really believe that. So I think that's when it heats up a little more. I get the argument about losing to Ohio State, but everybody loses to Ohio State, right? They do need to get over that hump, but I think it's more of a talent issue of they just don't have enough firepower offensively to play with an elite defense like that. So I think there's more conversations to be had about that if and when Penn State loses another game.
Yeah, good stuff. Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus. He's a co-host of the PFF College Football Show at @PFF_Dalton on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Thanks for the time, man. The insight on the NFL and college, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus. Talking a little NFL draft trades, making fun of the Cowboys together. He said nobody beats Ohio State. Oregon beats Ohio State.
You know, he certainly did say that. The Buffalo one for me in the NFL is interesting because I will acknowledge, and I picked the Bills to win it all. It just feels so much right now. It's just like, how great is Josh Allen going to be? And if he's amazing,
he's having a great year,
they got a shot. If he's not, they're going to get steamrolled. Yeah. I don't know how convinced I am on Buffalo. And I'm giving Buffalo flowers. Again, I picked them to win it. It just feels so much that just hinges on one player.
Do they have the ability to win a game in another way? Like the Chiefs have shown that all year, where Mahomes is like, that's all he did, and they're 8-0. Yeah. He was unbelievable last night on third down. Like, he was great.
Especially in that rain.
Yeah, in the weather, but there's times watching Buffalo. Like, if he's not 21-26 for 297 yards and 3 touchdowns and no picks, the Bills are down by 17 points in the fourth quarter. I want to get back to, we had some texts and thoughts coming in on the previous segments. We'll do that. I want to read a couple thoughts that came in. Top of the hour, I want to get back into college football because we have a quarterback that got benched. I want to try and play the fun game of can we guess the CFP top 10 tonight, see who gets the closest.
Why the top 10?
Or I guess 12? Top 12. Who is going to be the college football playoff rankings actual playoff tonight?
We're also going to have to compare the first rankings to the Dirty Poll.
To the Dirty Poll, which come out on Thursday. So that'll be a little bit later this week. The Daily Ticker is always brought to you by Pelican Brewing, now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise a glass, drink on Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Beach. Back after this on 1080 The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Got some college football tidbits coming up top of the hour. One coach ranted against his own fan base, and one quarterback has been benched. We'll get to those in about 10 minutes from now. I did want to reiterate, or just revisit, we were having the conversation about the Blazers, and there were a couple of thoughts I wanted to read off here and get your guys' reaction to them. I know I have a reaction to both of them.
I think of the angry, fiery character in Inside Out. You are Lewis Black. You're just
shooting flames out of my
head on fire every time they win a basketball game.
Well, I'll let you guys handle this because you follow prospects in college basketball and, you know, all this stuff way closer than I do.
Watched a lot of that Cooper Flagg game.
Did you?
Well, Knipple was good, but Cooper Flagg.
I mean, I kind of want Knipple just for the name.
I mean, it's good to have a nipple.
I want two of them.
I had somebody tell me that they weren't impressed with Flagg, and I'm like, how did you watch that game?
Let me read this text for you then, Bob.
Oh, okay.
This came in at the Vancouver Ford text line. You can interact with us, 503-864-6326. We might make fun of you on the air, though, so just forewarning. This Flagg isn't the next big thing. Okay. Media needs to stop shoving him down our throat. If Scoot and Flagg were in the same draft, Scoot would be the better prospect.
He wouldn't.
Okay.
He wouldn't in any draft.
Cooper Flagg seems to be talked about as a generational talent, and Scoot was the third pick in his draft. Is there any chance that Cooper Flagg doesn't go number one overall outside of a massive injury?
There's a chance. Bailey at Rutgers. Okay. I'll just use that name. That seems to be the second biggest. He's an explosive wing player that could be pretty dynamic and could be amazing at Rutgers in Big Ten play this year.
Sounds like something that'd be great next to Scoot and Shaden and Donovan Klingon.
So there is a chance he's not number one. I think dismissing that right now would be kind of ludicrous.
Yeah.
But all the intel from people who watched him play at the USA, what's the game we get here locally? The Hoop Summit.
Nike Hoop Summit.
The practices.
Then he went to the Olympic. He was the workout team, and all the NBA guys were going, okay, this guy doesn't look like he's 17.
I watched him last night. I watched him too. Very close. He handled the rock. He was setting guys up. He was dishing. He was dunking. Okay. I don't know where that opinion comes. Scoot wasn't better to Brandon Miller.
No.
According to the Hornets.
No, we all knew Wemby would be the number one overall pick, but Scoot was the third pick in his draft.
Like, you can like Scoot all you want. There's nothing wrong with rooting for our boy Scoot, but stop. Yes. Capture the Flagg would be higher than Scoot. Okay. Stop it.
Just wanted to...
Matthew Dunn.
And then one other one, and then we'll go. I promise. We'll get to some college football stuff. I sometimes do let my emotions get the best of me because I'm a fan and I want them to be good. But this, I think, highlights the large issue that I have, and I'm glad I got texted in.
You want to be brought back is what you want.
I want to be brought back. I want to be back in the fold. And they're not doing as much to get me back in the fold. This one reads, the Vancouver Ford text line from one of our P1s, how are the Spurs looking this year after tanking for years and then finally getting Wemby? They're still not good. It takes time to learn how to win. It doesn't matter even if they get Cooper Flagg. If the rest of the team doesn't know how to win, they're still going to keep losing. This is a small example of learning how to compete. I understand and appreciate the overall point that you were trying to make. Here is the issue that I have with it. How many of the guys in the closing minutes of that game that were quote-unquote learning how to win are a part of your long-term plan? Maybe Delano Banton, to be fair. Maybe I he is not a star. Maybe he's a bench guy. He's a score guy off the... Like, that's fine.
He's like fourth in the depth. So.
Exactly. So how many of those... Tumani Kamara was in the lineup in closing time. Outside of that, the rest of your lineup was DeAndre Ayton. Is he part of the long-term plan?
Probably not.
Jeremy Grant, is he a part of the long-term plan?
I don't know. But
Anfernee Simons, is he a part of the long-term plan?
Shouldn't be, no.
And Delano Banton. That was your closing lineup last night in the last, whatever, 6 minutes of the game. That's the issue that I have with it. It's not just about ping pong balls and you need to lose every game and freaking out every time they win. Mm. If you had a closing lineup out there, and I know this can't happen right now because one of the guys is hurt, but if your closing lineup was Scoot, Shaden, Kamara, Avdija, and Donovan Klingon, and you found a way to win a game, and you want to make that argument to me, dude, amen. That's great. Young guys learning how to compete, learning how to close out, get a stop, get a bucket, all for it. When the roster on the team on the floor is guys that aren't a part of the plan, that's my problem.
So you would just have preferred them to sit Banton, not allow him to have that night and play Scoot?
Yeah, to be or sit Anfernee Simons and let Scoot have those minutes because his development is more important than playing Anfernee Simons.
They're not going to sit
Anfernee. And of course they're not. And that highlights why I'm ultimately frustrated.
Well, I also I think context matters. I've watched the Spurs a little bit this year. They got their teeth kicked in by the Thunder a couple nights ago. Chet really took it to him. They have not looked very good. I also don't like their roster all that much.
How's their point guard doing? The guy they drafted,
Dillingham.
Yeah, was he their top pick? Didn't they take the? Am I thinking of another guy? Dillingham was their top pick?
Well, he's the... I'm not thinking... Not Dillingham. He's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
Wasn't it the UConn point guard?
Castle.
Castle.
Thank you. Castle. Yeah. I confused them. I understand that you could point to record and results and say, how's this going? Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Part of the process is learning along the way. Now their head coach is out with a health ailment. Mm. I wouldn't be overly shocked if he randomly just stepped down and retired. He's been in an interesting spot. You're kind of overlooking the larger point, though. It's like, do you want Wimby?
Yeah, they're going to be fine
long term. Do you want the best player in the draft, and then you figure it out along the way?
Yes.
Or do you? Yeah, I think we're both on the same page on that point of like, how's this going for him? Nobody's expecting the Spurs to win a title this year.
No.
I don't even know how people were expecting the Spurs to make the playoffs.
I would trade rosters with them in a heartbeat.
They're also like one game out of being in the play-in. Right. If the Spurs make the play-in and damn near win the game or even make the playoff as a 7-8,
yeah,
you're going to have a different tune by March.
No doubt about it. Wanted to read a couple thoughts there. We'll put the Blazers to bed for the show. Let's get to some other stuff in the final hour. Mail sack coming up at 8:15. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. We'll answer them sports, non-sports, whatever you want to throw at us. College football notes. We get our first rankings tonight. Let's start, though, with a coach calling out his own fan base and a quarterback that got benched. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.